Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Joe at RT.ie. Would someone explain to me, are shops that sell replica guns, well, air guns, but some of them are incredibly sophisticated with laser sights and cost 200, 300, 400 quid, but apparently, and they're metal, but apparently they're called air guns, but they look like real guns. But are those shops, because we've been told there's a shop in Finglas that's open selling those since when are guns an essential service during a pandemic? Or do they sell other things? We'll try and find out. Or if you live in Finglas, maybe you let us know. Anne Collins, Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Just I see a priest, a Tipperary priest, has queried whether the government, this is from the Irish Catholic, the government will be financially supporting clergy who have invested in webcams in order to move their services online. Father Michael Toomey, PP of Ardfin and Newcastle, told the Irish Catholic he spent €5,000 setting up a webcam to broadcast masses to his parishioners, and collections are down. And what do you think? Should the government help pay for church facilities for broadcasting to people at home?
No, I think they should contact the Vatican, their head office, one of the richest countries in the world, for their assistance. Because there's people out there that are donating their last few euros, pensioners and that, to support the church, which they have a huge company, one of the biggest ones in the world, running the Catholic Church. So I think they should just go to the mother company and ask for the money.
They go to who and ask for the money, Anne?
Vatican. Vatican City. Where the priest lives in luxury with his gold rings and the robes and...
Well, I thought Pope Francis had eschewed all of that affectation. Dick Redmond, Dick, 51551, wash your hands. Dick, what do you think?
How are you?
Yeah, good. What do you think? Should the taxpayer help churches gear up for the pandemic world?
Originally, I straight away said no. And then I thought about, there's a lot of elderly people that rely on the church to keep them sane at the moment. They're cocooning to have their faith. And I think there's a lot of churches out there that don't have money. And yes, maybe the taxpayer should give them a little dig out there, because there is a lot of money to outlay, €5,000. You see it all over the country, you know, they're collecting this, fix the roof and all that, the usual. But I know they're rich. I know that, look, that we've had our problems. I'm not a mass grower myself. But I think for the people in the elderly people that have that faith.
Yeah, but if you look at the coverage and the many, many, many domino effects of the pandemic, one difference in Ireland compared to the UK, compared even to Northern Ireland, compared to France, Germany, the countries that we'd be fairly familiar with, this is the only country in the world where the clergy and the church have, and they've every right to, where they have spoken out again and again and again to say that mass goers in particular, that denomination, have been very, very badly hit. That's not an issue in other countries the way it is in Ireland. So has the church in Ireland been badly treated by the pandemic regulations?
I think they have, in a way, because you look at some of the churches in Finglas, in Whitehall, they're massive churches, and like to say that you can't have 100 people or 50 people in, you know, they could easily social distance. They could easily, but look, I'm all in for social distance. I'm all in for everybody staying safe. Don't get me wrong, but it's the people that I feel for, that's their only outlet is God. And as I say, I'm not a religious person, but these people are elderly people, and they want to go to church, and they want to get out of cocooning for that few hours on a Sunday morning. And, you know, at least if they have to stay in and the mass has to be broadcast online, well, why not support the church
And bizarrely, something that was becoming very unfashionable to such an extent that the Dublin Diocese were beginning to tear down those massive churches that were built in the 50s and 60s under the tutelage of John Charles McQuaid. But bizarrely, those massive buildings are a godsend, pardon the pun, in the pandemic.
Yes, they
even
are.
Even they could be used for vaccinations. They could be used for meeting because they're so, so big. Bridget Kyo, Joe at RT.ie. Bridget, should the state support churches and help them go online with technology? Money.
Well, what I would ask is why not? Because so many parishes were struggling anyway before this hit. Mm-hmm. And this has brought so much more expense to a parish, you know, in terms of the equipment for relaying masses, which for some people is a lifeline.
Yeah.
You know, I know people, elderly people in their 90s, and like that's the highlight for them, to be able to access the masses.
And do you think that the church in Ireland, especially the Catholic Church, do you think the church in Ireland has got a bad deal during the lockdown?
No. Well, I don't know specifically how you would say a bad deal. You mean in terms of closures?
The criticism has been, if you look at the way things pan out across Europe in particular, that we would be familiar with, you know, the issues are the same in many countries, the rollout of the vaccine, the intensive care units, the hospital, the lockdown, the schools. But one big difference about Ireland has been in the public discourse has been the way the church has been treated. That's not a debate that's happening in any other country in Europe
at the
minute.
Well, I think it's been pretty dismissive in Ireland. You know, when the bishops raise an issue about it, it just gets
the other countries. Sorry, don't have an issue with it because they realise that the priests are living in their own houses with their housekeepers and everything's paid for, so the money isn't coming out of their pockets. They're using churches that have been paid for, that are already up and erect or whatever. They're getting donations of people, many people who couldn't afford it, but will give to the church no matter what. Most of the clergy say different nuns and priests have massive properties and still do, sisters of charity and everything else. I know a school that my son went to, they were asking would everybody donate 2,000 or 3,000 to build part of the school when they had acres of land that they didn't want to sell because they wanted to keep it for football or rugby. But they have the way and means of doing this, and you can get the radio, the mass on the radio, which I know my mother listened to for years and years. And there was many priests and nuns that have not been very good to people in the past, we shall say. And
I think that's kind of true now of the general population.
No, I worked with them for several years. So there are some wonderful nuns and priests as well. But unfortunately in Ireland, we haven't painted that. They're great, no matter what.
And Bridget, you're involved in the parish council, is that right?
Yes,
and
I am.
Are you familiar? How's your parish managed financially in the last year?
I mean, we've always been struggling, really.
Yeah, okay.
But just recently, our annual account was published. And like it says, the income to the parish is down roughly 15,000.
Wow.
On the previous year. Now, obviously, the outgoings, to be fair, aren't as much as they were the previous year either.
But still.
But for the fact, we'll say that you have so many volunteers in the parish, you know, that help to sanitise the church every day. The church is sanitised every single day. And
but they should be out helping the people, in my opinion. They should be
We're facilitating the people who would like to go into the church to pray.
But rather than
what do you mean? They can't visit the people. I'm just saying,
they you can call somebody and stand 10 feet away from outside their house. You can drop food to them. You can drop clothes to them. You can drop clothes to the bridge in town or coats and that, which I do in the evening for people who are homeless. You can leave food parcels.
And you're not, I know
you
all that.
But anyone
and people do, as you know, including yourself. But
what
is the spiritual nourishment of a religion? Surely that's what we're talking about.
If you go down the spiritual road, we have the church saying that you should have celibacy in the church. According to the Bible, it was procreate. That's why people get married
and they have children.
You know, the church are saying the opposite, that they should be celibate and get everything paid for them.
Okay. Bridget, that just came from a monetary thing, to save money without it.
Yeah. But that's a distance now from what we're talking about at the moment.
I'm sorry, I'll come back to you. But Anne, I mentioned Germany, but you know in Germany, if you declare your religion, you can opt to have a percentage of your income deducted at source by the state to give to the church.
Yeah, you can. But then that is not saying the taxpayer are paying for it.
Well,
you
hang on. Well, Anna,
the
taxpayer is organising it.
Yes, but you can opt in, but you don't have to do it.
I know, but what do you think of the ability to opt in, that the state will undertake to collect it for you? You'd have a conniption from what you're saying.
No, I'm saying if you want to give your money to Jack's Ripper, that's your business. And if you want to give it to the Catholic Church, or Protestant Church, or the Jewish, or the Muslims, give it to them. That's your prerogative. But I don't think it should be taken out of everybody's taxpayers' money.
Okay, Sheila is in Waterford. Sheila, your point, please.
Well, I heard briefly what you were talking about, Joe, on the way home, and I was just saying about should we support the church, that priest this morning was saying, is it that he spent 5,000? Mm-hmm. I believe, yes, I am a Catholic, and I personally would give 10% of my income to the Catholic Church in various ways. Maybe some ways would be supporting the obviously my parish priest, my Jews. And then obviously various things that would take place, you know, helping, you know, different other charities under the, like, folk or different things like that. Mm-hmm. I have done for a number of years. And I think it's the least that we can do, because each parish, I'm just speaking as a Catholic, we should be supporting our priests. Because they have given their lives for us, shall we say, to shepherd us.
I understand that. But Sheila, did you say, do you calculate 10% of your income to give?
Yeah, Joe, it works out more. It gives out more. How that started was I went on a retreat in my very early 30s.
Okay.
And the priest that gave the retreat, it was a week-long retreat of Father Bill. It's now Father Anthony would do it. Father Bill has now died. And that retreat, I'll be honest, changed my life. Completely. In a very positive way.
Okay.
It taught me how to... brought the faith very real for me. And in one of the discussions was tithing, where a person would give 10% of their income.
Tithing.
For the, for example, I'm a Catholic, saying for maybe, actually, Protestants would be quite good at this. That was years ago. I remember quite a few of my Protestant friends would say, oh, should we do that normally? And where to me it was completely, I never heard of it, even though I was born a Catholic. But I would find it, I think it's the least that we can do. And I can honestly testify in my own life that God's exceptionally generous. What you give, you will get back 100-fold. And I personally can testify to that.
But Sheila, forgive me now for...
Sometimes terrible, but you haven't met God, so you can't personally testify to that. You can say your life has been enhanced by what you believe in, but you can't say that you can personally testify, because God is... could be anything.
I can speak for myself, and yes, I can testify. I can.
So you've talked to him in person, and you've touched him, and you've felt him, and no.
Hold on. Well, during Mass, I would receive the body of Christ.
No, you're paper or bread or whatever.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
I thank God for my faith. Faith is a gift, and it's a grace. So because of my faith, I believe in the body and blood of Christ, transubstantiation in the Mass.
Okay, that's
it
your...
is not bread. I understand that, but so I take it from that. It is my belief and my faith.
That's your faith. Okay.
And yes,
thank you. Sorry, Joe, can I just come in and say something?
And Sheila, that will be respected on this programme.
Sure, I know.
I'm not saying that you don't believe in your faith. You can believe in your faith.
I know.
Everybody can believe in their own thing. But I'm just saying, to say that you have proof... proof is something like scientific, I suppose, or solid, that you can touch.
That's how
you
feel. We cannot visibly touch or see love, but we witness love. In everything that everybody does, Joe, you're a father, I'm sure, and you're a husband. And that lady, I don't know what, but... We have all felt love. We can't touch it, we can't see it, but we have felt it, and we do not doubt love. That's all. Just want to say in that. Okay. You can actually no paper, no certificate.
Now, okay, Sheila, can
prove
I
prove that it's there?
Okay, now, okay.
I just, Bible, for instance, they started writing the Bible for just an example.
Sorry, Joe, what would you ask me?
Before BC, and they finished at 200 BC.
Okay,
and the Catholic Church go according to the Bible.
Yeah, okay.
You don't know who wrote the Bible. Well, yeah, there's loads of them that they decided they weren't going to be in it. And the celibacy was actually originally a woman, and they changed it to men. But that is a monetary thing, that the priests don't have to pay for wives and things like that. You know, there's a lot of stuff that is not wonderful. My belief is help everybody you can. Take your coat off your back if somebody is cold. Give them food. Don't be abusive to people. Don't rob, don't steal.
Okay.
Can I just come in there?
Bridget, in a second, but I just want to ask Sheila one question, and forgive me for going not down the God route, but down the mammon route, Sheila.
Yes.
When you say you sit down and work out 10% of your income, now, is that your income after tax or before tax? Do you follow me?
Yeah, well, I know. I take it after tax, okay? Whatever I get into my hand. But I'll be honest, Joe, what I've found over my life since I started doing this, you end up giving more, but you don't realise it. But I don't. Okay. I just say, for example, just take for argument's sake, make it easy. Just say you get 100 euro. Well, automatically in my head, I put 10 aside, but sometimes I put 15, I put 20. So if you just break it down that way.
Wow. And when you're tithing to the church, would that include organisations, say, like the St. Vincent de Paul?
I would leave that separate. I would do that separate.
Okay. Bridget, you want to come back in again. Sorry,
yeah,
Bridget.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, there was a reference made there, we say, to the wealth the church has and so on in the Vatican, and right? But that's very distant from us. I mean, I have heard in recent times of priests in their parish starting a local lotto to try to fill up the gap that there has been in their income. Now, to me, it's kind of demeaning for priests to have to go down that route to get income to run a parish.
But Bridget, if I was to say, could they raise income by an awful pay per view? That if you want to subscribe to the local church, you have to pay to get a password or whatever so you can watch
Mass. You're probably hitting the most vulnerable in the community again. Because we
that's
all know
point.
That the highest number of viewers are among the older section of the population, and they're the people you're going to be asking to contribute again. And I mean, in our own parish, we've been fortunate in that people have continued to be generous throughout all of this. But if you go looking for extra money within the parish, you're likely to be going back to the very same people again.
Point,
which really isn't fair.
David Bergen, 1850 715 815. David, your point, please.
Joe, the church has been locked down for the last 14 months. It's an institution like all others that has been closed down. It is entitled to compensation. The church is there. There are masses every day. Yeah. And in a lot of cases, there are funerals every other day. For instance, our parish, Booterstown, one day, we had 5, if not 6 funerals one week. I mean, that is an awful workload. And people criticising the church. The church is there. If you ring a priest in the parish, you'll get somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Sick calls, funerals, you know, weddings are pretty well out the door at the moment, but the priests are still there. They have to live. Man doesn't live on bread alone. They are dependent. They've been deprived of income over the last 13, 14 months. Like, work has to be carried out in churches. And
I know, maintenance.
The Vatican is a wealthy organisation.
And David, address the Vatican argument. Anne brought it up. She's still on the line.
They also get paid for maybe £600 for a wedding or euros, and they get paid for it. It's not ridiculous. They get paid for them.
Okay, let David address the Vatican point. Were you going to address that, David?
The Vatican is a building which was built around the 1500s. It was a wonderful building. Have you ever walked around St. Peter's in Rome? It's a wonderful feeling to go into the Sistine Chapel. And I wouldn't grudge the Vatican one penny. Now, it may be on paper, it may be a wealthy organisation, but at the same time, if it were to sell all this property at one go and give it to somebody, like I said, even. Look what Eva Perón did in the 1950s in Argentina. Sold off all the state property, gave it to the poor. But there are more poor than ever in Argentina today.
Okay, and Bridget, how much for a funeral or a wedding? Do you know what it is, a donation or a stipend is now from the
well,
families?
Well, it varies. It varies in from my experience, which was fairly recent.
Okay.
It varies from parish to parish. And actually,
approximately 600 for a wedding.
It depends on the parish in question. That was our experience.
You pay. It was what Anne said. You can pay up to 600 to have a wedding in a church.
In our case, it was 200.
Okay. And what about a funeral, Anne? Do you know what much is it to have a funeral?
I can't remember there was a funeral, but I don't know how much it was. I didn't ask.
So, Joe, I can go there. I worked when I retired. I worked in the funeral business at the time. There, it was 250 normally. It was an offering, and the undertaker would pay it for you, and be put onto your bill. You know, it was quite. The church is there, and you have people standing around outside the church, maybe for an hour afterwards, talking, and it was sort of. And then the priest will come to the graveyard. You know, there's lots. People think priests have a nice cushy number, but it's not that easy.
And when you say, David, in Ireland, again, I'm looking at the difference here because I think this debate is unique to Ireland. And you can read that either way, positive or negative.
Well,
OK, I know you do. I totally respect that. But do you think it's unique to Ireland as well that we can access a priest fairly easily?
I think it's wonderful. Wonderful.
Do you think it's unique to Ireland?
It's not unique to Ireland. I'm often in Germany.
I would have thought it was.
Yeah, it's not. I think every priest will be. I mean, if you go to France, there's always. If you knock at a door, I'm sure you'll get the curé. And there are not too many. Yeah. The parish priests in France. There are not too many. How do you call it? Curates anymore. Yeah. Like the workload for a priest is now very heavy. It was like the Church of Ireland here. Church of Ireland friend made a comment to me about 30 years ago. There were very few Church of Ireland churches that could afford a curate. Right. It seems to be going that way with the Catholic Church. No, you see, that's the curate. That's through lack of ordinations and the workload has become very, very heavy.
Okay, I'm going to let Sheila back in, but I'll do that after this break. Joe at rt.ie. 51551, and the question is, should the state help the church now that it's in severe financial difficulty, and should it even go further and help install modern technology for Zoom, WhatsApp and CCTV for broadcasting of services? Joe at rt.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Should the state help churches after the awful 15, 16 months they've had in terms of one, closed doors, and two, lack of income, and three, extra demands in terms of sanitation, and also, more importantly, in terms of installing TV cameras, webcams for home broadcasts. I don't know how expensive it is. I don't know, even how many companies in the country are doing it now, but it must be a booming business. 51551, wash your hands. Niamh is in County Meath. Your point, Niamh, yes or no? Should the state, should the taxpayer help the churches?
No, I do not think they should. For starters, you didn't hear the teachers looking for the taxpayer to help them do all their Zoom calls to all the children when they were at home, and they did a bloody fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear all the boutiques who were online helping their customers, trying to keep their businesses afloat. I think there's a lot to be said for the massive houses that one priest is living in. If they're struggling so much, why do they not sell the big houses and live in a more affordable house? The weddings, as one woman said, they're getting massive money for doing a wedding.
Well, 600 quid. Well, the rent of a hall would cost you 600 quid.
Very true.
Yeah. The price of a funeral, and there's been a lot of funerals, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Who's expiring there? Was that you, Bridget?
No, Sheila.
Sheila. Oh, Sheila. Okay, Sheila. Sorry, I don't mean expiring. Exhaling. What do you think of Neve's point? And it is you get it all the time. That doesn't dilute it. Vatican, big houses, property, land.
What religion you are in, the humanist, whatever, you will have to pay a celebrant.
Mm-hmm.
I think a humanist could be a couple of hundred as well. But all I'm just saying is it's probably a point that was spoken way back. Maybe somebody saying, like, what about the priest? They are available 24/7. There is many, no, Joe, please listen. There's many, many an accident that has happened in this country.
Mm-hmm.
3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock. The guards come and knock on their door. Father, will you please come and give the last rites? It has happened. There's many nearby. How would any of us feel knocking on the door for what they get,
mm-hmm.
what they have done for people, the help they have given? You couldn't put a price on that.
That doesn't really have anything to do with them asking the government to pay for them to say mass, to pray for their technology.
It's a lot.
To have their wedding.
They're not charging horrendous money. A couple are paying up to 20,000 to 30,000 to 40,000 for a wedding.
I hope they've learned a lesson and they're not doing it
anymore. But please put that in perspective to what you're saying. An average wedding in this country could be 20,000 to 30,000. And that's not going to the priest, it's not going to the church. So all I'm just saying is here, what people are getting, because the churches aren't opened, and they should be opened to celebrate Mass, a lot of what is streaming into, and the hope and the prayers that have been offered, it's for the offsetting. You know, this is a deadly disease.
Well, okay, can I go back a little bit? How much they're looking for, 5,000 and 6,000 euro, it can't cost that to just...
Well, it must cost that.
Surely it must be cheaper to...
Well, why don't we all make a call to people? But that's what it must be costing. That's what they were charged.
It can't be costing that. I've been able to
check it out. Things have got very expensive.
I've been able to look at several things technology, and it's not costing that. How have the teachers been able to do Zoom calls all the time? It's not costing €6,000 and €7,000 for the teachers to be able to do Zoom calls.
That's very true. It's not. That is true. It's not costing them that because it's free, and also the teachers are getting paid.
So why are they saying that they need 5,000 or 6,000 euro to do Mass?
Well, it must be some way it's set up going into to RTE. There has to be a way. In fairness, they have to get cameras had to be set up. I have no idea, but I mean they're not making it up. In fairness, it's not being made up.
Somebody just took the figure out of the sky.
I don't agree with that.
Why not?
I don't. I have seen the figures, and I can tell you that just for sanitising alone in our church has cost the parish about 2,000.
You've seen the figures for the technology.
I'm talking about sanitising, which would be a lot less.
No, we're talking about technology.
But you were talking about the overall
cost.
Can I go back to the buildings they're living in? How can they justify one man living in a massive big house?
Most
that costs,
In fairness, those houses could have been donated by people.
Most priests
that's
would not justify that. They
there
would prefer
be
to
one
have
man living in a massive big house.
They're not actually. Divided into two or three houses.
Again, have you not seen the number of priests' houses that have been sold? And they're now living in much more modest houses
living in a big house, and it's not right.
Yeah, but some of those big houses, Sheila, are distinctly uncomfortable and old and cold and drafty.
There's a liability to them.
Yeah, well, so it should be, something else should be done with it. It should be given to the parish, the town, for a better use. And the priest should be living in a house that's easier and cheaper to run.
But they already have been done, and that has already happened.
Not in all of them.
But you can't say
it. Okay, Ray Nocter.
We're not talking about an ideal world.
Ray, your point, please, and Carlo.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Lovely sunny day. Joe, listen, we have a two-tier Catholic system over here, Catholic Church, two-tier. You have to be totally Catholic you know, growing up, marry a woman, mm. have your children, go to a Catholic school, get your Holy Communion confirmation, totally Catholic. Now, mm. Joe, if you or me got divorced a couple of years later, you can't go back to the Catholic Church. They don't want you. They won't give you a Holy Communion. Your children may not be able to go to a Catholic school. If they want to say a mass, can they, it's lovely and sunny out, can't they say a mass outdoors? Is this the same Catholic Church who destroyed thousands of children's lives over abuse, over years, and mm-hmm. tried to bury documents, hide them, lie and cheat, and then say they've no money? And they left us over 200 million short. They own buildings, they own grounds, they own an awful lot mm. of stuff. Now, I'm not saying all priests, Joe.
Well, you can't.
But there were some of them.
Because it wouldn't
be true.
There were
some of them. Right, there were some of them. And they tried to hide them and move them from mm. parish to parish. So, no, the government should keep out of religion and religion should keep out of government. If the Catholic Church, who owns the Catholic Church? The people. The people owned it. But yet, we will have the same Catholic Church who won't marry gay men, who won't marry lesbians, who won't baptise their children. They're not allowed in the church. So for me, we have a two-tier Catholic country over
okay,
here.
Okay, Sheila, do you want to address those points? I know it's pretty broad, Sheila.
Yeah, I have to say it is heartbreaking what happened in the church. Mm-hmm. Absolutely heartbreaking. And words can't describe it because it is heartbreaking. But when you look at the percentages, it would say 2%. It should never have even been 2%. But what breaks my heart in today's world is the abuse that is happening as we speak in families, neighbours. Nothing to take the church out of it. Leave the church aside, okay? Mm. 95% of abuse is happening as we speak today. In families,
Sheila, I'm sorry, in neighbors.
No, please. But
you can't leave the church out of it. The church for years.
Please let me finish. Because I think it is wrong, and I have admitted that.
The family home show. This is stated.
No, it was desperate.
Look at the mother and babies, Sheila.
I understand. No, please let me finish. It is heartbreaking. But what is happening today? Have we learned? That's what I'm trying to say.
No, we haven't learned.
When we look at society today...
Yeah, but Sheila, this argument has come up before. When you say, which is a fact, that the vast majority of abuse happens in family homes, but the vast majority of life happens in family homes. But that doesn't mean we should disband the family or stop people living
that.
Together.
But what are you saying?
You're trying
to... No, we should be helping. We should be helping these people and not ignoring it. Giving facilities, helping these people, and there's a lot going on that we should be helping seriously with these people. People. Only for the grace of God, it could be any one of us.
That the Catholic Church was meant to invite right. everybody into the doors. Everybody.
Well, everyone.
Not to discriminate.
Yeah, but no, but they would see it, everyone who subscribes to what we believe in. They're not, you know this phrase, it's not a la carte, Catholicism. Jerry Staines in Kildare. Jerry, Joe at RT.ie, your point, please.
How you doing, Joe? Yeah. Joe, I just want to go back to Anne's point about the money end of things. Like, mm-hmm. I think Anne has us way off the mark. I'm not too sure if she's aware that the average priest's salary is $21,000 per year, and he must run his house and his car, and everything else associated with himself on that money. Everything else with that. And during the pandemic, they received a letter to say there was going to be a wage reduction.
Wow, okay.
And on the donation, say, for a wedding, I know here in Blessington, it's €400.
Okay.
And €200 goes to the diocese, €100 to the parish, and €100 to the priest.
Wow.
And as you just said, earlier on, how much could you rent a hall for? Mm. You can't go to a hotel room and say, oh, can I have the use of your hall? I just want to get married in it.
Now, the argument against that, Jerry, is that the hall in question, which would be the church, and it's much more important than a hall in that sense, significant. The hall was built and paid for by the people who are now looking to use the hall.
Yeah, but most of the people who go there to get married in this day and age don't use the hall or don't go there in general. And it still has to have an upkeep. A sacristan has to be paid. light and heat. Like, remember, the churches have stayed open right throughout the pandemic for people to do private prayer.
Private, yeah.
There are no masses at the moment, apart from on webcam.
But there is adoration or whatever, yeah, or private prayer.
The church are open with light and heat and cleaned every single day, and maybe a couple of times a day if there's been an occasion, in like a funeral. It's cleaned before it and after it. It's cleaned before people come in the morning time and when people leave in the evening. Okay. There's a huge expense still out there. And I think even...
So should the state, should the taxpayer help out?
I think the taxpayer should pay out. The taxpayer should assist in that. Because the benefit it gives to people to be able to log on to a mass, we have a mass every morning and Saturday evening and two on a Sunday on the webcam. That, I think for that, for people to be able to click into, can be invaluable for people to get their little piece of religion in the week. I think that's totally for the older community who are isolated enough and need as much connection to a parish as they can. They get the notes read out or the recent deaths and notices.
And you're saying, even though according to the CSO, the average full-time salary in the Republic is, before tax, obviously, you can consider nearly half it gone after that, but is nearly 49,000. You're saying priests get paid 21,000, which is less than half the average salary. Yeah. And what have they to pay for out of that?
Well, they would run their house, their own houses. They pay for their heat and oil. They pay for their own food. I don't know any priest in the past 15 years that would have a housekeeper.
Joe,
can I just go across there? For years and years, when the Catholic Church was funding the laundries and all that sort of stuff and the farms that they had attached to the churches and all that, and for all the children who went to various different industrial schools and various different outlets, right? They weren't in education. Educated, they weren't fed and clothed properly, and they were getting money from various different sources, and they had loads of wealth, and they didn't look after our children, they didn't look after the mother and baby homes, and then they buried it all, and they made so much money from it. Babies were sold, we all know that.
Okay.
Because, you know, there was babies adopted, there was money made at the
and
back
you, and you,
of
you, you
poor
don't,
people.
You don't think, Ray, in recent years, and apologies and contrition and statements of regret, be it from the Bon Secours nuns and Tuam recently to Bishop Diarmaid Martin 15 years ago when he arrived in the diocese, if not before, are those apologies, do they have any standing?
Joe, they're all very hollow.
Okay, well, they don't. Well, the answer is
but,
no.
But surely we're talking about today. We can't keep bringing up what other priests done or, you know, what the institution previously done. We're talking about now, in a pandemic, making a weekly or a daily mass or whatever people want to do available to them. And remember, we're talking about the biggest problem that I see is social isolation for the older people. Social isolation.
Okay. And Jerry, we have a daycare centre that hasn't been open since March
2020.
We have to stop the two-tier Catholic Church.
I don't know anything about a two-tier Catholic Church. I only know that people should be given an option to view the religious service that they want to.
And Jerry, do you get solace and comfort and fulfilment from watching Mass online from your local church?
I feel I'm missing out, the same as not being able to attend a weekly Mass. I feel I'm missing out something if I can't get to one of the Masses.
Online?
Yeah.
Okay.
Me personally.
Okay. Is Sheila still there? Sheila had to go. Tom Bennett, you have a question before the break.
Yeah, good afternoon, Joe. My point is that if the state is expected to support the Catholic Church through this time, well, then they've no option but to support all other churches who are in the same position.
Okay.
And there are quite a few in Ireland now at this time.
And what should be the algorithm? What should be the calibration? Should be on the number of people in the census that, in the most recent census, that proclaimed to be Catholic, Protestant, Muslim?
Well, if the money is going towards the upkeep of the church and installing different things, well, then all churches will have the same problems. So that should be equally divided among the number of churches.
Okay. Yeah. Where's that row going on in the background?
I don't know.
Is that Bridget? Bridget? Who is it? Ray, is it Ray? Are you okay, Ray? Okay, I'll come back after the break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I don't know the answer to that question, caller, whether parishes can avail of the government pandemic payments in any shape or form, be it for small organisations or PUP. John, when was this? When did this happen? You there, John?
Hello?
It was on the M50.
I was coming off the M50 the other day.
Okay.
On the Blanchardstown exit.
Right.
And I look over, and there, you know, in the middle of the Spaghetti Junction, and there's a fella on a scooter, taking down right around the roundabout, or spinning around those roads.
Now, he's not sitting on a scooter. He's standing.
It's one of the
new e-scooters.
Yeah. And he has a black helmet on.
Yeah.
And he's just standing there, going around the middle of that intersection. I don't know if you're familiar with that intersection.
Yeah, I am. Oh, it's massive. Yeah. I don't know. You're taking your life into your hands when you try and get...
And that's in the car, like, you know what I mean? In the car, it's bad enough. Yeah.
And these scooters, maybe it was different, the one you saw. For example, they don't have mirrors, do they?
No.
So he can't...
This fellow was just standing straight, going forward, and he was just doing his own thing.
And was he in high-vis gear? They normally
are
not.
No, not at all. No.
And the scooters are black, aren't they?
Yeah. And that's all he had.
Well, he had clothes on, but they were dark clothes, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, God forbid, what would have happened if he had caused an accident or been... the victim of an accident?
Well, you know, there's not bends on those, like, on that road there alone. Like, they're very sharp bends. Like, if someone is speeding on them, you can't control, you can't come out of lane.
Hmm.
So I think I'm not sure if he's coming off the N4 or if he's going on to the N4.
And did anyone, assume, you see, I'm very reluctant to even if I recognise someone on a bike, I would never, never, ever, ever beep them because they get a fright.
Yeah.
But did anyone courtesy tap him, so to speak? With the horn.
No, it was just like casual as he can go. Just sitting there, off he's gone. He's just doing his own thing, that's it.
Yeah. I presume it's illegal. Well, you can't drive with an N or an L plate on motorways.
Yeah, so you have to be...
You can't... Yeah. Isn't there certain motorbikes that aren't allowed on motorways?
That's right, it has to be over 50cc.
You obviously can't walk on the hard shoulder unless it's in an emergency, and then you're supposed to stay not in your car, but near your car.
To the side of us, yeah, that's right.
You can't cycle on motorways.
No. But, sure, any of those lanes and that, he would have had to cross over junction lanes, if you know what I mean. There would have been car lanes he would have had to cross over to get where he was going.
And then if you're coming from Knockmitten onto the Nace Dhu carriageway, where you're swinging, deciding whether you're going to go to the Nace Road, the Long Mile Road, I just... I often think I just close my eyes and hope for the best. It's so confusing. But he had a helmet on.
Oh, he had a helmet on. So, I think it's one of those magical helmets that save you no matter what happens.
Yeah. But I presume if you had his helmet on, you couldn't see his face.
Well, you could see his face, Ollie, but now, I was going the opposite way to him, so I didn't really... Okay. I was like, Jesus, is that fucking for real? You know that way? Yeah.
Well, there are laws... Sorry, there are no laws. That's the problem, because people are, on the one hand, people are saying they're brilliant, especially during the pandemic. They're eco-friendly. They're safe in terms of you're travelling on your own. You don't have to worry about contamination. You don't need insurance, so you don't.
No, they're cheap. Well, these weren't. That wasn't a kid that was on that. That was an adult. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. It's primarily, we had this awful case on Friday on the programme where Thursday, the child's electric scooter was robbed in St. Anne's Park. That's the other big thing at the minute. Okay, would you have been tempted to ring the Gardaí?
No, because there's no way you'd catch up on them quick enough, I'd say.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless they had cameras on it and they could identify him, that's the only way. But I don't think they'd be able to do that, or they'd bother even doing it.
And how could you chase a car? How could you chase an e-scooter on a gridlocked motorway?
It was actually moving. The traffic was actually moving. It wasn't even that was gridlocked.
Gridlock
would be actually safer.
Yeah.
Well, it was actually flowing fairly well. Yeah.
Okay, John, well spotted. We'll ask the Garda Press Office what the laws are. Thanks indeed, John. Marion Basto, I mentioned earlier about the call.
Hello, Joe.
How are you keeping? Well, this call, 51551 watch hands, this call we got about, there's a shop in Finglas. Now, they're not selling replica guns, but they're selling guns that look like real guns, but they're air guns. Well, somebody pointed out that some of them cost over 200 quid. They're made of the high-end metal. And some of them even have the laser scopes on them. You know these guns that that SWAT teams use?
And hunters use as well. Yeah.
Now, when you were held up at gunpoint, did you know if it was a real gun or a replica gun?
Not at all. I didn't know. I assumed. I thought it was a real gun because the metal was cold against my temple. And it wasn't until the next day that I went to the Garda station to make a statement that the guards showed me the stuff they'd taken from him and showed me the gun, and the guard said it wasn't a real gun and blah, blah, blah. But you don't know that when somebody's holding a cold gun to your forehead, your temple.
And in you tell us what happened in your case.
Well, I went into the post office in Balldoyle one Friday morning to collect my mother's pension.
Right.
I was the very first customer in after the door opened, and I didn't see anyone. I was just standing outside the door. But I was just barely at the counter when this lad came in with his hand around my neck, all in pain. And he demanded money from the postmistress, who's now since dead.
Okay.
But
he had his hand around your neck, kind of holding you hostage. Where was the gun?
Holding me hostage. The gun was on the other hand at my temple.
Actually pressing as in the movies, onto your temple.
As in the movie, just putting, because, right, like, beside your eye, if you like.
Yeah, and what was the sensation like?
Oh, terrifying. Because all I can remember, and I can still remember, is the cold metal at my temple. And there was a horrendous smell from him as well, whatever it was, drinking drugs and unwashed. Mm. He was tall and thin. I didn't see his face. But he kept shouting at the postmistress. She says, give us the money, give us everything. He was screaming and shouting. And said, she'll get it.
That's you. That's you.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, he was going to shoot me if the postmistress didn't hand over the money. But she said to him at one or two stages, she said, I'm not giving you anything, she said. There was a big glass panel between her and him and me.
Okay.
And I said, I'm not giving you anything, she said. That's not a real gun. And I said, oh, that's great. It's just lovely to hear that.
That was reassuring for you,
Yeah.
So, you're being held hostage. Your man has this gun. Is there pressure on your temple with the barrel of the gun?
No.
But you felt you could feel metal on your temple.
You had it up against my forehead. If you had it against your arm, you'd feel the cold of it. If you had a bare arm or your leg, you know, it was just like that.
So he's saying, "Give me the money, or she gets it."
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, he was going to shoot me. I was the hostage, you see.
And the postmistress says, "Get lost."
Yeah, more or less told him to get away. She said, that's not really his gun. She had a tough little turn out. She was known to be tough, but the gun wasn't being held at her temple.
And did she say afterwards that she knew it wasn't a real gun or she was just guessing?
No, she didn't. I didn't have any conversation with her after the incident because the guards came along. Somebody came in behind me. I didn't see them under their shadow. And they obviously saw what was going on. And the guards came quite quickly that morning. There was some kind of a cycle race on somewhere, and there were squad cars, and there was police from Raheny and police from Holt, whom I knew, some of them. Mm. And they asked me, did I know what he looked like? And I said, no, I said, I didn't see his face, but he had like what I would call sailing shoes on his feet. That was all I could see of him. And that there was a terrible smell off him. I'll never forget the smell.
And what was the smell? Sorry.
Well, now I don't know.
Well, what do you remember? Was it a... You think it's a stale alcohol smell?
No, I'd know that. No, well, it wasn't that. Well, it was like unwashed bodies.
Yeah, B.O. Was it B.O.?
Yeah, but something else as well. You know, like something coming out through the pores, maybe.
Well, there's a phrase in Dublin for that, Marion. I don't know whether you remember.
What's it?
There's a home off them.
A home, yeah.
A home.
Yeah.
Would that describe the smell? A bit of a home off
them? Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, a good home off them. because it tells you to never get home to get changed and washed after that. But
and did you say to the postmistress, hang on a minute, don't get into a debate with him over whether it's a real gun or not. Yeah. He's going to shoot me. Give him the money.
Yeah. No, I was so frightened. I was in shock, I suppose, really. And I had been off that week and had been in hospital for a little... A woman job. So I was still a little shady, even though I was going back to work on the Saturday.
And by the way, how were you subsequently in post offices?
Well, I was okay. I didn't go back to that post office. Actually, after that incident, I got my mother's pension paid into her bank account.
And that's interesting.
I used to go once a month.
Well, is that annoyance with the postmistress, or was it trauma?
Well, a bit of both. Yeah, I never want to go down to that place again, because I would always go early in the morning because I'd have to be in work for 11 o'clock.
Now, in fairness, Marion, to the postmistress, maybe she had been held up before by this fella.
She may have.
Maybe she recognised a home off him.
Well, why didn't she say that to me instead of just saying, that's not a real gun? And the other thing I forgot to say to the researcher was I got £100 for my trouble from post or whoever they were. It's about 17 years ago now. Right. And our postman, who's since dead, he said, oh, you'll get a few bob for that. I said, yes, I'd like to get a few bob for something that is traumatic. Yeah. But,
did you know... And we phoned the shop and they are open. There's a shop in Finglas in Dublin, perfectly legitimately, I hasten to add, selling guns. Now, they're not replica guns because that's probably illegal, but selling air guns that cost up to and over £200 that have these laser sights on them. So they look like the real thing and they're made of gun metal. You know that beautiful metal guns are made of. But they're regarded as an essential retail service during the pandemic.
Yeah, I might go up to one myself. I don't know what that's about. That to me sounds purely nuts. I have seen replica guns before in shop window as window dressing for used to be a Western shop there in Talbot Street, North Earl Street. It used to sell Stetsons and that kind of stuff. But the window was dressed with these replica guns, because when I saw the gun in the Garda station the next day, I said, I've seen that kind of gun before. But I knew the ones, I didn't know for sure, but I assumed the ones for the window dressing weren't really. But that was the kind of a gun the lad had, and it appeared to be heavyish. Now, where he got it, I don't know.
And was he caught, by the way, Marion?
Oh, he was. Yeah, the guards were out like a shot.
Oh, brilliant. And, pardon the pawn,
yeah. Sorry.
Did they take gun issues very serious? And was he sentenced?
He was caught down in a house a couple of doors down. I don't know if you know that area, Baldoyle. There's like two big old like army houses or something, or maybe not army houses. But they were late in latter years. They were let out in apartments, and he went down there. Now I don't know how they went there, for maybe someone outside saw him going in there, but they caught him on there and then. And they took him up to wherever they took him.
And did you have to go to court?
No, I didn't, because he admitted guilt. But he had 16 or 17 other charges as well. And the thing, when they brought him to the station, I didn't know this either, but they brought him up to Howth. And I had to go up the next morning then to make a statement and identify the gun, if you don't mind. But they had to change all his clothes. They had to get him everything new. Because they wanted his clothes for evidence.
But the only way you would have been able to identify him in court is if you had been allowed to go up and sniff him.
when the court case came up, the guard, I knew a few of the guards in Holt at that time, and one of them let me know. He said, that case is coming up, he said. And then it didn't come up. He admitted guilt. But what did he say? And I said, because it was a good while after. And I said to the guard, I said, sure, I wouldn't know him now after this length of time. You will, he said, he'll be standing in front of you. And I thought, Jesus, that's great.
Okay. Well,
the trauma and the drama.
You're over it now, thankfully. Okay, Marion Bastow, thanks indeed. By the way,
thanks, Joe.
Two little bits of house. Just for the generality, Marion, not for you. Did you get your vaccination yet, Marion?
No, I'm going tomorrow evening to VCU to get.
Yeah, well,
I presume the first shot.
Well, will you bring the? It's so hot today, and apparently, and this no one can help this because they're doing so many. Apparently, there is a long queue in the Helix, and God, a lot of us outdoor in the sun. So would you please bring water, bring a sunblock, maybe even some people bring a sandwich if they want to, but there could be...
God, yeah.
Just, no, but bad, primarily bring water. And the second thing is, I got a phone call this morning, I'd say a lot of people did, from some dope pretending to be from the Department of Social Protection. They're ringing and it comes up like an Irish number. The Department of Social Protection are not ringing people. Just hang up and preferably block the number immediately. Yeah. But don't answer. Department of Social Protection are not ringing people. Okay, Marion, thanks for that.
Okay,
bye bye.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I've no idea where if the word home referring to a sniff, a whiff of another human that's unpleasant. It's greater than BO and it's greater than stale drink. It's a home. I don't know. I've no idea where I heard it. And I've no idea if it's peculiar to Dublin. Irene Conway, scooters are not peculiar to these e-scooters. What happened?
I was heading into James's Hospital. I'd gone past the main hospital.
In Dublin,
heading towards, Dublin 8. Heading around to the private hospital for my scan. Mm-hmm. And a young person, female on a scooter. I saw her sort of weaving a bit on the road.
Okay.
So it's a very busy junction because bear in mind you've got people coming to the hospital for the first time, don't know where they're coming. There's people coming from the Lewis. There's deliveries to the labs around the corner. Mm-hmm. There's,
it's busy, 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 yeah.
It's a very busy junction. So, of course, I thought, oh my God, where is she going?
Mm-hmm.
So instinctively then I swerved.
Right.
And then we heard this loud thud.
Wow.
So I burst the front left tyre. Mm-hmm. And she sort of looked back but kept on scooting. So I, 2 days later or so, AA came. Thank God I've got them. And they came and they sorted me out after my scan. And then I went to a place I knew in Dublin and I got the tyre changed and I went back home to Wicklow and it was fine.
And,
but, go on, ask me.
No, sorry. Irene, was the person, the woman on the scooter, was she okay?
Yeah, she was.
She
fine.
Wasn't
she
knocked
was
off her.
No, there was nobody was hurt except my car, right?
Okay.
And the stress of that, if you know what I mean.
I know, and you were on the way to a hospital appointment, for God's sake.
Yeah, for a bloody scan I get every 3 months. Like, you know, you're anxious enough anyway, you know, as are most people at a hospital.
Yeah, of course.
But police station are not interested because nobody was hurt. So...
And do you know that for a fact? You reported it?
Yes, I did. I rang Rialto. And I was actually on to the hospital this morning about another appointment. And I said, listen, who can I talk to at the hospital?
Yeah.
And they said, look, ring the switch and ask for, and I haven't gone yet, the CEO's office.
Right.
And
what would you be saying to the CEO?
What did you say to them? And why are you allowing scooters, you know, on the busy roads in the hospital?
Yeah.
And can anything be done about it? But I don't normally make phone calls about things.
And by the way, when you do your 3 monthly scan, do you get the results there and then, Irene?
No, I don't. I'm getting my results this Wednesday.
That's a worry for you. That's what I mean.
Well, yes, it is a concern, you know. But I hit the curb.
Oh, that's how you burst.
So that's where I burst. But had there been somebody on that curb, they could have been hit.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't know. But what I'm saying is, do we have to wait until somebody is injured before something is done about this?
But you see, the tragedy, and it's happened in London, that the tragedy, if anyone was injured or killed, it'd be a terrible tragedy. But the probability is that it will be somebody on a scooter that will be the first victim,
exactly,
because they're so vulnerable.
They don't have any protection around them.
Okay. I hope there's results of the scan. You say it's a 3 monthly, and you have to wait a week every 3 months for the results, Irene?
Usually, yeah, because the results come in, you know. So.
Okay.
No, but that's not why I'm ringing. Anyway.
I know that, I hope once again the results are positive on Wednesday.
Yeah,
but
great.
Thanks. Safe travelling, Irene, and safe and good health. Thanks indeed.
Okay,
Joe, bye-bye. Joe, bye-bye. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Back to the point I made earlier and that was raised earlier. Father Michael Toomey, PP of Ardfinnan in Newcastle. Catholic parish, he pointed out that he had to spend €5,000 setting up webcam to broadcast masses and £180 a month to maintain, and he wants some state help. And on the flip side of that is the income to churches has plummeted because there's no, those two collections every weekend are gone at every mass. Colm is in Drogheda. Colm, your point, please.
Hey, Joe. Just to even entertain the idea of the church getting money for that sort of thing, I think is absolutely outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with people worshipping or having their religion, and I think it's important for people, if that's what they hold important to them, to be able to practice religion. I'm not religious myself. I really have no time for the Roman Catholic Church with regard to the history of them in this state. And I've never felt compelled to ring into your show before, even though I listen.
Mm.
But to hear the talk even been entertained of giving them more money, when the Vatican is a state in itself and the Pope has plenty of money to hand out, I just can't fathom even the entertaining of this conversation. We've all gone without throughout the pandemic. There are people who are homeless. There are people eating food off the streets.
Mm-hmm. But that's not the church's fault.
It's not the church's fault, but the church have had a hold over our state for long enough. And I think people of my age in their 30s or below, a lot of them have had enough of the church now. And we want our republic to be separate from any of the church.
Church and state, yes.
Church and state separation,
secular state,
completely. And a proper republic does not allow religion of any sect to interfere with how the state is run or what goes on. And if that priest wants money, he should go to his CEO, because that's what the Roman Catholic Church is. It's a company.
Yeah.
He should go to the Vatican and ask the Pope for the money, and not come knocking on the doors of PAYE workers or PSI workers or those on the Universal Social Charge, because we have far more important things, in my opinion, that money needs to go to. I still see a place for the church within the state, but it should not be state-funded.
Okay, Bill Black, your point. You're listening to Colm, Bill.
I don't agree with he speaks the same as everyone else about, you know, Rome, the Pope, blah, blah, billionaires and all that nonsense. You know, for me, I believe if 80% of the population in Ireland at the moment are Catholic, and they're taxpayers, Catholic, paying their tax the same as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, they have to support, they have to, in my opinion, they have to support the church. You know, the priest is called to be a psychiatrist, a psychologist, a social worker, a giver, a mass preacher, blah, blah, blah. He's got so many, he must have about 20 things. And he's on 21,000, according to one of your callers there a few minutes ago. 21,000. He's got to run his house. He's got to run his car. He's got to feed themselves on 20 grand. Like anybody within society, if you were saying like the average salary is about 45 grand, I think it's a disgrace. I mean, if 80% of the population, you can check the stats for me now, 80% roughly are Catholics. Surely to God, we're paying taxes, we're entitled to support our church. Like in Germany, to do it on a regular basis, and the Pentecostal church all over the world, they tied 10% of their salary. Now, if the
but that's a that's a voluntary. We had Sheila on.
I'm not into. I'm just telling you what it is. But I'm just telling you, they give 10, they try 10%, and they quote from Maliki.
Well, you could do that, Bill.
Anybody can do it. But
Sheila
not
does
that's
it. Sheila was on at the start of her program. She works it out, and she gives 10% of her pre-tax income to the church.
I'm just saying to you, the Catholic that I know of. Yeah, some of them looking gave a euro on the plate, don't mind 10%. 10%, if the average salary is 45 grand, according to Joe earlier on, you know, that's 4,500 euros a year per person to the church, that 80%. Sure, that's fantastic. That would keep the church going, you know. Mm. And we need preachers. It'll be there, for example, 90% of our little kids at the moment, once they make the confirmation, never see them again. We need preachers out preaching Jesus. But as far as I'm concerned, is all our little confirmation kids should have what they call a personal relationship with Jesus before they make their confirmation. What's happening at the moment? Historically, it's like the Catholic Church, 40 years like Moses in the desert. You know, they're preaching catechesis. It's not working. We need the Life in the Spirit seminars. In other words, that our little kids would have a Pentecost experience when they make their confirmation. Awesome. We've done it in my house. Bill Black is my name. We have the Nazarene Community Communion and Confirmation Club in my house the last 3 years. We have the good of 60 kids coming. I wrote to Archbishop Dermot Martin 11 years ago about the vision. Mm. And he said, Bill, we're going to introduce an inner city Dublin. I wanted to be introduced, for example, Sheriff Street. Kids 7, 8, 9 and 10 selling drugs. It's crazy. All I'm saying is, but the mammies and daddies always want
Joe,
the kids
could I
to
come
make
back
the confirmation. Now, I'm just brilliant. My heart is for our little kids. It's not right that they should be out selling drugs at 7, 8, 9. All I'm saying is, if we zoomed the Life in the Spirit seminars for the confirmation of communion kids, we'd have new kids who are full of life. They don't have to sell drugs. It's a beautiful world out there, but it's also, unfortunately, a sick world as well. And I believe our churches have abandoned the inner city kids, not just in Sheriff Street.
Okay, that's
all over Ireland.
Yeah, okay.
Unfortunately, and
Joe,
all things,
there's lots of brilliant community organisations in Sheriff Street and Ballybock in the north end of the city. Colm, sorry, you want to reply there?
Yeah, the statistic of 80% of people are Catholic in this country is skewed, because I was indoctrinated into the Roman Catholic Church as a child by my parents, mm-hmm. because that was the thing to do. When people fill out the census form, people feel obliged to put down Roman Catholic instead of no religion, the way the census form is put. So I don't think that statistic is quite correct. I think there's far more people who are of no religion now. It just doesn't reflect in our census yet, and
okay,
it will in
okay,
time.
Okay,
and then the other thing about kids wanting to have to go places. Look, Tolka Park is my mecca. Shelburne Football Club is the thing that I love. Mm. I can't do that at the moment, but kids can go there and do that. There are plenty of other things for kids to be doing, and other amenities out there that stop kids from selling drugs on the streets or taking drugs. That is not part of this conversation.
Okay, I take that point. Sandra Bourne, Sandra, your point, please. Should the taxpayer help church with new technology? Sandra?
Hi, sorry.
Your point, please. Yeah, your point, yeah.
I tell you, I'm absolutely horrified at the idea of the church looking for money. The thing is, I mean, the money that the church have, the property they have, and somebody made a point of priests' houses. Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, they live in very modest houses. I personally have been in three priest houses, and I can tell you they are absolutely stunning, and the space they had was absolutely unbelievable. And we've homeless people in this country, and we have priests living in huge houses, and as I said, this is from experience. And
yeah, but some of the most active, some of the most active people in terms of homelessness.
My local priest
are from religious backgrounds. Sister
was the same, but unfortunately, he passed away recently. I was personally in his house, and he had a beautiful big extension. They don't even have. There was two priests in the parish at one stage. And they don't even share the same house. They have two houses in a lovely area. Okay. They had one house each.
There's a lot of animus towards
and
the church.
It boggles me why this. I mean, the Catholic Church and the, I have been over in Rome.
Okay.
And, I mean, they're the richest business, if you like. Yeah, I know they're...
But if they, you're saying if they sold...
They're religion. But they're a business. And if, Vatican City, the money that they have as a business and the properties they have. And my local priest wants to sell part of the grounds of our local church. And he was told by the Vatican that he couldn't sell it.
Okay.
And eventually he went against them. He said there are too many people that need houses and need homing. And he did sell part of it.
Okay. Bill Quigley. Bill, thanks, Sandra. Bill in Listowel, Kerry.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Your point, please.
Well, I was referring to the fact of the price that we, or the cost that people incur paying priests or whatever.
Yeah.
But I remember, I know it's a few years ago, 69, I was married, myself and my wife. The parish priest in my parish, in Wandsworth, refused to marry me because it was Lent. Yet I went to my wife's parish, which was Wimbledon Park, got married there, no problem. And when it came to actually paying the priest, as I thought, he said to me and my wife, he said, "My good children," he says, "we, the priests, there is no price on sacraments. I've never known," he says, "they don't come with a price tag." And yet, as I said, you hear my brother-in-law, who was 3 or 4 years after that, looking for a letter of release from his parish. He was marrying in Kilkenny. When they asked the priest, "What's coming to your father?" He said, "What do you do?" "I'm a teacher, father." "Ah, 300 will do so," he said.
Okay.
And that was back in 1972, 73.
And the one you were told you couldn't get married because it was Lent.
Yes. And the parish priest that married us said, "That is ridiculous," he says. "We are committed to administering the sacraments, and there's nothing in the church law," he says, "that you cannot get married on Christmas Day. It may not be convenient, but he says there's nothing to stop you."
Well, good health to you and your continuing marriage. Bill Quigley, to you and yours, Bill. Patsy McCoy, you have 40 seconds, Patsy.
It's the scooters thing, you know, they're lethal. You know, I spoke to guards 3 months ago.
And you're a driving instructor.
I am indeed, yeah. I spoke to you before, Joe, a number of times. But the guards told me, 3 months ago at least, that there is a law in place to seize these scooters and there seems to be nothing being done. And the worrying part of this is that the insurance, if you hit a cyclist, regardless of what the cyclist does or a pedestrian, they are compensated. So I think the same will happen here, because the mechanically propelled vehicle, the bigger one, will be more powerful. And in that case, the person does, you know, it's not...
And are you hearing anecdotally, Patsy, like we are, that there's more, one, there's more and more scooters, and two, there's more and more issues?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. I see it every day on the road.
Okay. Good to meet you, Margaret, Patsy. Back tomorrow at 1:45.
Okay,
thanks. Fergus Sweeney, producer, Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.